Greetings and welcome to the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association's Patients Come First podcast series. Podcast episodes are available on VHHA.com and popular podcast hosting apps including Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, and many others. We're a member of the Public Health Podcast Network, Virginia Audio Collective, and the Family Podcast Network. Podcast episodes also air each Saturday at noon and Sunday at 10 a.m. on 100.5 FM, 92.7 FM, and 820 a.m. across Central Virginia and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. on 93.9 FM in Richmond. Please send questions, comments, feedback, or guest suggestions to pcfpodcast@vhha.com. That's pcfpodcast@vhha.com. I'm Selena Lauren. Today, we're pleased to be joined by Deborah Floyd, a nurse and perinatal bereavement coordinator with Sentara Health. In just a moment, we'll learn about her career, how her current work is informed and inspired by her personal experience and more. But first, welcome to the show, Deborah. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's our custom to start each episode by getting to know our guests better. So, Deborah, we know you have many years of experience as a bedside nurse in labor and delivery, and we mentioned your role as perinatal bereavement coordinator with Sentara. I'm sure those few professional details don't fully do you justice. If you would, tell us some essential things about yourself and your unique personal story.
I decided to become a nurse after the birth of my second son. I thought, oh, this would be an amazing job. So I went back to school and got my associate's in nursing back in 1991. So almost, 33 years ago? And then went into labor and delivery and was a labor and delivery nurse until roughly almost 7 years ago when I accepted my current position. So it's been a little bit of a transition going from bedside nursing to the current job that I have now, but it is such a great job.
Healthcare's constant complexities and distractions can make it difficult to focus on medicine. Covaris can help. Covaris offers medical liability insurance, value-based care risk protection, employer stop-loss insurance, and so much more. You can count on Covaris for protection and services that help you stay free to focus on improving clinical, operational, and financial outcomes. Find out all that Covaris can offer you at Covaris.com. That's Coverys.com. Insurance products issued by Medical Professional Mutual Insurance Company and its insurance subsidiaries.
I have to imagine your work as a perinatal bereavement coordinator is both rewarding and challenging because it involves working with families who have experienced miscarriage, stillbirth, or other perinatal losses. Obviously, in those cases, you may be working with grieving families, but you and other nurses doing that work are also people with emotions.
Yeah.
In a post-pandemic world, there is greater awareness about the potential psychological impact frontline providers may experience as a byproduct of the work they do. With that in mind, what is your approach to providing comfort to family in those moments, but also after the fact in managing your own mental and emotional well-being?
Self-care is so important, and I am really glad that you're focusing on the secondary grief, the grief that is experienced by healthcare personnel, because there is compassion fatigue that nurses and others who care for these families in their own experience with grief, if they don't have self-care as a focus, it's going to be tougher for them to care for the families the way they want to care for these families. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for sharing that. So we've been discussing loss and processing that. Deborah, this is something that you are acutely familiar with. 20 years ago, your 11-month-old son Tommy passed away during a surgical procedure related to a congenital heart defect he was born with. I'd like to pause and tell you that I'm so sorry for your loss, and I appreciate your willingness to speak about it. I'd be honored if you would share some memories about Tommy and explain how your experience informs your clinical work in helping grief-stricken families navigate loss.
When I was pregnant with Tommy, we found out that he had markers for Down syndrome and they weren't seeing everything that they needed to see with his heart during our 18-19 week ultrasound. And that in itself, not getting that diagnosis of that quote unquote perfect child, that there might be something wrong with your child, that in itself was a grief. I remember that. But that did not last long. He was our baby first, who's going to have a disability, and I'm the type of person that I got to get a lot of information, see how I can best help him in the life that he was meant to have. And when he was born, he even with a congenital heart defect, he was able to nurse, and he didn't need to go to the nursery. He did really well. And his sister, Megan, who was about 5 at the time that he was born, loved being his big sister. The love between the two of them was so nice to be witness to. And his older brothers, Megan and Tommy, they have older brothers who were 16 and 18 when Tommy was born. So they are pretty much out of the house and on their way out of the house. But that connection between Megan and Tommy was amazing. He didn't need surgery until he was 11 months old. Basically, they were waiting for him to grow, get a little bigger. And we had talked to other families who had been through something so similar, same type of surgery, same surgical team, same hospital, and they had really good outcomes, and that was our expectation going into it ourselves. And it was quite a shock that it did not turn out that way, even though when you say, well, congenital heart defect, there's always that possibility of something not going well, and there's a possibility of them not making it through. Just our experience and who we had, you know, talked to, the other families, we just didn't think that was going to be a possibility, and we anticipated bringing him home. So that was a big shock for us.
And thank you so much for being willing to share that. And I'm wondering how your experience also informs your clinical work in helping other grief-stricken families navigate loss.
Death is a part of life, but not the death of a child. The children are supposed to bury their parents, not the other way around. So it's a complicated grief, and it is a disenchantized grief. Disenfranchised, there you go, grief. And no one really talks about it. So when it happens, it catches you off guard. It's not something that you expect. And there's a big why, and what if this, and what if that, and questioning yourself as a parent if you should have done something differently. Was it something that you did? So there's a lot of guilt on top of the grief that you're experiencing. And the person that I was changed immediately when we found out that Tommy didn't make it. So as far as how does that experience help my patients? Because I feel like I can go in there and I can empathize, because it's, you can imagine how hard it is to lose a child, but until you've gone through it, that raw pain, I think it's a connection. I've heard people say it's kind of a club you don't want to belong to. Now you're part of that club. And just being with other people who have been through something so similar, that connection is helpful in grief.
Thank you so much for sharing that. One thing I read is that after the loss of Tommy, a few years later, you adopted a child from Ukraine named Anya, who is 20 years old today. If you would, tell us about finding her and the act of expanding your family and finding a place for love after loss.
It was a couple of years after Tommy had passed away, and when I would go online, there were different websites of children that were in the United States and then children who were overseas and in orphanages throughout the world who needed a family, and started the conversation with, you know, my family. We talked to Megan and my husband at the time. We talked about it, we prayed about it, and we wanted to give someone who did not have a family in honor of Tommy. That was important to us, and there was a humanitarian group that was in Ukraine that was helping the orphanage that Anya had basically grew up in, because her parents gave up their parental rights right after her birth. And she was 4 years old when we adopted her. So that was pretty much the only life that she knew. And in Ukraine, if you do not get adopted by your 4th year, then you have a disability, you go to this institution where it's children, adults, all types of disabilities, and they just don't have the funding there. I saw pictures of, you know, children who were tied to the cribs, and it was just the thought of a child having to go through that. And we knew we couldn't save everyone, but we could maybe give one a family and give them a better life. And so we moved forward with that, and the paperwork, which was pretty significant, took about 9 months and a lot of different organizations to go through to get the approval. And we went over to adopt her. We were in Ukraine for about 7 weeks for that process.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And a few moments ago, we referenced the idea of the emotional impact healthcare providers face through the work they do. Deborah, you lead a team of 37 nurses who provide care for women with high-risk pregnancies in Hampton Roads. You've emphasized the importance of employee wellness as a leader. One tactic you use is to invite doctors, nurses, and staff to use what is called the butterfly room, a quiet space next to your office, to take a break, meditate, or talk about their feelings. From your perspective, why is it vital to focus on workplace wellness for clinical staff?
Research shows that if the staff, they do not emphasize their own self-care, they can develop compassion fatigue, and then that can lead to illness, that can lead to not wanting to come to work anymore, wanting to change their profession, just because it's hard to get up and go to work. So taking five, when you're not feeling well, one of the things that you can do is to get away from that situation if you're feeling stressed, and just kind of take some breaths and have some quiet time, regroup, and then get back. It's hard for these nurses because they might take care of a family who's just had a loss, and then once they have moved them to the next unit, then they come back and they take care of a family who has a baby and they're in labor, and it's a happy situation, and it's really hard to go back and forth like that. So it's really important to kind of review what you just went through and decompress and maybe talk to somebody about it and then regroup.
And thanks so much again for being with us today. Before we let you go, we do have a tradition on the Patients Come First podcast to ask our guests a pair of fun personal questions. To keep things interesting, we have a list of 10 mystery questions. So please choose two numbers between 1 and 10 and I'll ask you the corresponding questions.
Okay, 3 and 5.
All right, number 3. What is the best piece of advice you have ever received and why does it stick with you?
Let me think. Best piece of advice. Best piece of advice that I've received is that put your ego aside and be in the moment, because that's where the gift is right there in the moment. If you're worrying about your future or if you're thinking about the things of the past, you're not being in the moment, and that makes situations so much worse than they need to be.
That's great advice. Thank you for sharing that. 5. If you could spend the day with one person from history, living or otherwise, who would it be and why?
I would like to sit with Mother Teresa. She did so much work with orphans and those who are less fortunate, and I would love to learn more about her experience and what did she do on those days that were really difficult for her, and just learn more about what inspired her to do that.
I think that's a wonderful answer. Thank you. And with that, that'll bring us to the close of another episode of the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association's Patients Come First podcast. If you like what you heard, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. And we want to once again thank our guest, Deborah Floyd, for joining us today. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.